Hi, I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Helly, and welcome to Growth in Progress, a podcast where we have open and honest conversations about things that aren't usually discussed, but that can help us all to grow.
If you're new to the podcast, then each week we have a bit of a catch up, share something we've loved recently, whether it's a book, a TV show, a podcast, or something else. And then we go on to discuss a topic that we think is really relevant right now. The sorts of things that a lot of people are probably thinking about, but aren't actually having the conversations about. If you enjoy this episode, don't forget to hit subscribe. And if you could leave us a review, we'd be really grateful because it makes a huge difference. So how are you doing, my love? Good morning. It's bright and early when we're recording.
It is bright and early.
Especially for me. But I'm kind of liking it. I'm trying to get back into being a morning person.
Yeah, I do. I always feel so much better getting up early. Just feel more accomplished.
Yeah.
Getting more done in the day. But yeah. I'm good. We're back in Split again. We've been hopping absolutely everywhere for the last few days, which has been a little bit stressful. Cannot wait until we move into our place in September. But we went on a little, I guess it was like a holiday to Hvar, to one of the islands off Split, which was really nice. We did like hiking and boat trips and ate lots of nice food and drink. And yeah, actually felt like a nice little trip, which was really nice. And also it rained, which is mad. Ooh. Because it's the first time it's rained since, I think, in like 2.5 months, first time we've seen rain. And Hvar is the sunniest island in Europe, and it rained while we were there. But that's, it did mean the temperature dropped below 30 for the first time in over a month. And that was, I never thought I would be happy to say that, but it was amazing.
It looked stunning. I didn't really know a lot about Hvar, but I now really want to visit next time I come and see you because it looks gorgeous.
It is stunning, and it is a party island. Like, everyone associates it with being a party island. However, there is so much nature, so many hikes, beautiful places. The town is gorgeous. There's loads of boat trips. It's not just about partying. So
a bit, yeah, like Ibiza, where it's like, it is made, yeah, for partying, but it's also really gorgeous.
Yeah, exactly that. But how are you? What have you been up to?
I'm good, thank you. I mean, are you a Brit this week if you don't talk about the heat wave we're having? Because it isn't just a heat wave, like, we're hitting over 30 degrees most days. And don't get me wrong, I love it. Like, I love the warm weather. It makes me feel so much better and more human. But 30 degrees in the UK is not the same as 30 degrees anywhere else in Europe, because we don't have aircon. We have carpets everywhere. And our homes are so well insulated. Well, mainly, especially if you're in a new build, because it's always cold in the winter. So yeah, I never thought I would be so grateful for saying that I can go into the office and I don't have to work from home, but our office has aircon, so it's quickly becoming my favorite place. In fact, today I can't go in because I've got to get our car aircon fixed. How annoying is this? Our car aircon broke. And I'm driving for like 6 or 7 hours this weekend. And I was like, I can't possibly do that without aircon. It's going to be 36 degrees. So in order to get one set of aircon fixed, I have to forgo the aircon in the office. And it's just a really sad state of affairs.
Well, Matt, I was trying to explain this to Taylor, how those temperatures in the UK are just not fun, because we just do not, we are not equipped for it. Surely, with the way that the world is going, AC needs to become more of a normal fixture in the UK.
Oh, for sure. Like, one day when I renovate / build my own house, I will be fitting in AC.
Yeah, because, just one unit in one room to just, yeah, cool things through.
Because it's just, it was 27 degrees last night at 10 p.m.
Yeah, it's not fun.
And I guess Taylor didn't really have a very hot summer when he was here, because it wasn't, actually, he wasn't here the last summer, was he?
He has never spent a summer in the UK in the 5 years we have been together.
Well, then, he comes from the land of aircon, so
yeah,
it's not the same. Yeah. Like, I know Florida gets hot, but it's not the same.
Yeah, I know.
He's just a wait. One day he'll get a British summer and he'll take it all back.
Oh, 100%. 100% he will. Yeah.
Actually, if you're coming back in the next couple of weeks, you'll be here for part of that heat wave.
Well, yeah, this is what I mean. He's going to experience it properly for the first time. Yeah. And he hates being hot. So he's going to really, like, he's the one who pumps out the AC all the way down to like 15 degrees and I'm freezing cold. So for him to not be able to do that in the UK is going to be a struggle.
It'll be a learning experience. But anyway, do you want to share what your recommendation for this week is?
Yeah, so my recommendation this week is a very practical one. It's a little bit different, but it's actually a bank account.
Love that.
I don't know whether this will be helpful for people or not. I know this is a really challenging time for a lot of people at the moment financially. But the Chase Bank, which is originally a US bank, they have launched in the UK as an app-only bank. So similar to how like Monzo, Revolut, Starling, etc., they've now got an app-only bank. And the reason I've opened an account with them is because if you open a current account with them, you can get access to their savings account, which has an interest rate of 1.5%, which is the highest that there has been in the UK for nearly 3 years. And the best part is that it's easy access. So you get 1.5% and you can take money in and out as much as you please. You're not locking your money in, because I know that's such like a challenging part, yeah, of putting savings somewhere if you can't touch it for like 2 years or 5 years or whatever the terms are. So it's 1.5%. You can deposit up to 250,000, which, I mean, we can dream, can't we?
Yeah.
But yeah, 1.5% easy access, but also, so you can only open it if you have the current account, and the current account also offers 1% cash back on everything for the first year as well.
Oh, wow. So
it is it seems, so far I'm very happy with it. It seems like a really great deal, because I want to do something with my money, but with the way that things are in the world at the moment, I do not want to tie it up in a savings account that I can't touch for 5 years. Like that would just stress me out right now.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And you can use the card abroad without fees and all of that kind of thing. You can also open pockets, and you can open up to 10 different savings accounts to suit your savings goals. You can do all of that usual kind of roundups that you can do on the other app-only banks. There's no limit on withdrawals either. There's loads of really great perks. They're obviously like really like want to offer a lot of things because they're new to the market. But so far, it's been fantastic. So if you are looking for something like that, easy access and 1.5%.
Nice. You sound just like Martin Lewis. And I'm so proud.
Martin Lewis helped me discover it. Because I was looking for something like this, and it was an article on his website, and I was like, look, if he says it's the best thing they've seen in 2.5 years, I'm opening this account.
I was literally thinking this the other day of like, what am I going to do with my savings, because they are sitting there not collecting any interest. And I think that there's a lot of options now for like investment in shares and stuff like that, but like that takes a lot of time to sit down, research and understand. So actually that's a really great idea to like just pop it away. And also I find that, so I love Starling. Like I'm a huge fan of Starling. I love using it. I think it's made managing my money easier, all of those sorts of things. But I quite like the idea of having a pocket of savings that's completely out of sight. So like really easy to access, but just isn't sitting there next to all the rest of like my little pots for like to work and bills and energy and stuff like that. Because then you almost forget you've got the money. And that's quite helpful, I find.
Yeah, absolutely. What's your recommendation this week?
Complete other end of the spectrum. I've got a book to share. So it's Malibu Rising by Taylor Jenkins Reid. I've never really read anything from Taylor Jenkins Reid before. I'll be honest, I didn't love Daisy Jones and the Six. I really couldn't get into it. But she's got to be the number one most recommended author that comes up on my like Amazon to read pages and stuff like that. Understandably, because she has a huge catalogue of fiction and has written some incredible books. But I picked up Malibu Rising a couple of weeks ago. It was on a daily deal on Amazon or something like that. And it's one of my favourite books I've read in a really long time. It focuses on the story of four siblings who are based in Southern California in the 80s. They, and this isn't a spoiler, you learn this really quickly. They're the children of a rock star who is completely absent. You know their mum isn't around anymore, but you don't know why at the beginning. And it basically follows their annual party that they have every single year. It's 24 hours leading up to, and then including their like huge party that they have every single year. And it's like the social event of the season. And it kind of cuts between the present day and then their lives and how they got to where they are. So if you're someone who loves that sort of like intergenerational story where you're jumping between time, like time periods, you will absolutely love it. Yeah, it was really brilliant. Loved the story. The ending was just very satisfying, which is really important to me when reading fiction, because I don't like an unsatisfying ending to a book. But it's quite an easy read, a really good summer read, I would say. And yeah, it's always on daily deals and stuff. So highly recommend.
It is always on daily deals because I bought it this week as well, because it was down to 99p on Google Books.
You know what? I almost text you. I meant to text you and was like, oh, I'm going to recommend this week. Go and order it.
Yeah, I'm actually reading Daisy Jones and the Six at the moment. I'm about halfway through. And yeah, so when I saw that Malibu Rising was on sale, I got that as well. I still haven't read The Seven Deaths of Evelyn Hugo. Evelyn.
No, Seven Husbands.
Husbands. I'm thinking Seven Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Similar, they're such similar titles, aren't they?
I haven't read that yet, but someone gave me a massive spoiler for it, so I'm kind of a bit annoyed about that.
Oh, no. Well, I'm thinking I might read it next because I didn't know there was a spoiler in it, and then I saw a review that was like, spoiler alert, if you don't know what the twist is, and I quickly, like, scrolled up because I was like, I don't want to know.
Yeah, someone just posted it in their Instagram story and then I was like, oh cool, thank you
that's
for that.
A dick move.
Yeah,
I have no time for people who spoil stuff like that, because I just think it's just not cool.
Yeah, but no, Malibu Rising is on my list to read, so yeah, we can chat about it after.
Should we move on to our final topic of the, I was going to say series, but we don't really do series.
No, that ship sailed.
Yeah. Episode 132. I don't think we're going to start doing series, are we?
132 long series. Oh, God.
Well, that feels like quite the commitment. This week, before we go off on our summer break, we wanted to have a conversation about overwhelm, because we've had this conversation before, probably about a year ago now, and we wanted to revisit it because I think now we're fully back to normal, quote unquote, despite so many people's best intentions, ourselves included, to go, I'm not going to fill up my diary, I'm not going to get manic again. That's just not happened. And so it feels very relevant to be talking about overwhelm again, because most people I speak to right now just keep saying, I'm so busy, I'm so overwhelmed, there's just so much going on. And it's kind of the perfect time of year to take a step back, take a breather, and just get into a better mindset about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important to say that I think a lot of people kind of feel guilty about feeling overwhelmed. Mm. And there's nothing wrong or shameful about feeling overwhelmed. A lot of people think, oh, it's a sign that I'm not coping. And it's not really true. Like the smallest or the biggest things can feel overwhelming to you, depending on what is going on in your life at the moment. And everyone has challenging and stressful periods in your life. Like that's just life. And it is unavoidable. It doesn't mean that you've done anything wrong. But I think this conversation is more about making sure that you're doing everything you can to look after yourself and try and mitigate that overwhelm, especially if you kind of recognize the signs. I think that's really important. If you can recognize the signs of overwhelm, you can try and preempt or make it a little bit easier for yourself if you know you're going to go through a really busy time at work or lots of social commitments or lots of things going on, as it feels like at the moment.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we're the only ones who can control how we feel. And whilst being overwhelmed is horrible, and this will probably sound quite harsh, it's your choice how you deal with it. Mm-hmm. I think a couple of years ago, if someone had said that to me, I'd have been like, no, that's not fair. But actually, it's completely true. Like, you're the one who's responsible for your own well-being and managing that stress and managing that overwhelm. And that's not to say that if you feel very overwhelmed, you failed at that. It's just that you're the only one who can get you out of that situation.
Yeah.
You're the only one who can make the changes that are necessary and take the steps that are needed to actually make sure that you're in a better headspace, or that you're behaving in a more, I guess, conducive way to a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's important to be able to recognize when you might be overwhelmed, or if you know the signs in yourself of kind of an impending period of overwhelm. Because when you're in that place of overwhelm, it's so hard to think clearly and try and like map your way out of it, or try and kind of take the load off, because everything feels so big and so difficult. So I think if you can start to recognize those kind of signs that you are heading towards overwhelm, try and plan for it before and learn from when you've experienced it previously, and do what you need to do to manage yourself and your well-being. I'm not saying that you can stop it. It happens. We all go through those really challenging, overwhelming periods, but you can, like you said, your own well-being is your responsibility, and you can try to just mitigate and reduce that just a little bit if you recognize the signs.
I think that's the thing, is that like with anything in life, you can only control the controllable. We can't control the current cost of living crisis and the stress that has on everyone. We can't control the fact that the weather is really hot and therefore we're all getting less sleep, so that's kind of another factor that's added to it. We can't control the fact that all the kids are about to break up from school, so if you're a parent or you have young children around you, you're suddenly going to have to look after them as well. We can't change any of those things, but what we can change is how we approach it and the mindset we go into it. And something I did, it must have been about a month ago now, that I've never done before, is create a bit of a well-being plan. Now, this is going to make me sound like a health wanker, and I know that I am a bit of a health wanker. But I really would recommend doing this. So I actually did it because as a team at work, we knew we were going to have a really busy period, and we sat down and mapped everything out week by week. And then I was thinking in the evening, like, hold on, if I do that for my job, why would I not do that for something as important as my own health and well-being? Like, I instantly felt calmer once I'd done it for work. And I was like, okay, let's give it a go. So I sat down and I mapped out the next like 5 or 6 weeks. So like up until next week, so that's when I've got a week off work. So it kind of made sense to go up to that period. And I went through everything, like, what were the priorities for each week going to be? What social things did I have that I couldn't get out of? Any appointments, like whether it was PT session, going to the dentist, anything. Then I wrote down the days that I wanted to go to the gym, because I know that exercise makes me feel so much better and so much calmer. I wrote down a couple of meals, like quick meal ideas I could have each week, so I didn't have to think so much about what I was going to eat each night, because that is one of my worst traits at the moment, is when I'm overwhelmed, I'm like, screw it, I'll just order food in. And then I don't eat something healthy. I don't feel good, like all of those things. And then what was the other thing? Oh, I put on the list how many times a week I wanted to journal and I wanted to meditate. There was no time limit on how long I had to do these things for, but just like committing myself to doing these things. And actually, even though it's been an extremely busy month or so, I actually feel better than I felt in a really long time. And I can only put it down to the fact that I went into this with a different mindset. It doesn't mean that day to day it hasn't been stressful and I haven't had periods of feeling overwhelmed, but it's like the base you're working from is more sturdy. Is there any way I can describe it?
No, that totally makes sense. And that's a really good example of like self-care usually comes last during times of overwhelm. And I'm not talking self-care like bubble baths or whatever. And I mean, if that helps, then like absolutely make sure you're including that. But that's you actually taking care of yourself, because you're planning how to make it easier for yourself. What can you do to reduce the load, like reduce the pressure on you, like planning meals or pushing out anything that's not urgent and things like that. I think that is such a great practical example of self-care, because you yeah. knew that though that was the thing that was going to slip first once things got really busy and challenging.
I think that's part of the challenge, isn't it, is that self-care is often doing the hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what feels good in the moment, but what feels good longer term. Saturday morning when I went to that Metcon class and had to do a HIIT workout in 27 degree heat, didn't feel like self-care at the time, let me tell you. But actually afterwards, when I had that endorphin rush and my body felt stronger and I felt physically tired at the end of the day, so I slept better, that was self-care. It's like investing in that future you and mm-hmm. making the decisions now that might feel a bit more difficult, but ultimately ladder up closer to who you want to be and where you want to be. And I think it's taking that mindset, even though it's really difficult to do, that's the only way, I think, to get through a period of overwhelm, not be completely burnt out at the end of it, because that in itself is a really horrible experience. And I think in the past couple of years, more of us have probably been burnt out than ever before. Mm-hmm. But it's only through being really burnt out I've realized actually I'm the only one who can do anything to try and prevent that. It isn't the responsibility of my family or my partner or my work or my friends to sort that. It's on me.
Yeah. And I mean, that doesn't mean you can't tell your partner or your friends or your family how you're feeling. Like, that can often be really helpful to just say, I'm feeling really overwhelmed, just to kind of take that load off and make it feel like slightly less monumental that that there's so much kind of going on right now. And also, I mean, another perspective can be helpful, but absolutely, like, it's not on your partner or your friends or your family to necessarily reduce that overwhelm for you. And I think, like, again, just so we were talking about morning routines last week, or was it last week?
It was. God, I love Power Hour. I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, and just that morning routine, like, it's non-negotiable for me. I spend that time, even if I have an early meeting or something, it means I can only do it for, I don't know, 20 minutes, whatever. That is my time to check in with myself and assess how I'm feeling. No matter how stressed I am, I'm like, I need that time for myself. And I think that's a really important point of not ignoring or not denying your overwhelm. Like, if I sit and think, okay, I'm really stressed about this thing that's happening, I feel really overwhelmed and anxious about all of these things that are going on right now because they're uncertain and I don't have a solution, but I just, like, sit there and acknowledge that. I'm like, okay, this is fine. Like, what do I need to do? What are the next steps? And it gives me that time to just check in. And I think, again, there's nothing wrong with feeling that way, but denying it is just going to lead you to a point where it's really difficult to try and deal with it. And I think maybe that's part of the whole self-care and grounding process as well, just accepting how you're feeling. And that's part of the process of dealing with it.
I think that's part of it though, isn't it? The further you get into that headspace of overwhelm and worry and not knowing how to cope, the harder it becomes to get yourself out of it. Mm-hmm. And the higher the climb feels. Whereas if you can be a bit more proactive about it and try and prevent it or take little steps to make a difference, even if you're in that headspace of overwhelm right now and you're listening to this thinking, well, that's all well and good for next time, but what do I do now? I kind of say, just get outside, go for a walk for 10 minutes, turn off your phone notifications, go outside. If someone really needs to get you that urgently, they will be able to get hold of you. But give yourself that chance to get outside and take a break. And then tomorrow, do the same thing. It doesn't have to be these huge, huge, like, overhauls of your life. It can start so small. But then it's like a domino effect. As soon as you start doing that, then you're like, actually, could I make this 15 minutes and journal or meditate at the end? Or even if you're just like, right, I'm going to make it 15 minutes and I'm going to make myself some breakfast, whatever it is. Is easier to start small and build on it than just suddenly have to overhaul everything.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important part of this as well, like understanding how your mind works, how your brain works, and what works for you. Because if meditation and journaling sounds absolutely awful to you, then obviously don't do that. But don't just do nothing. Like, we're the kind of people, like, you will always put more pressure on yourself than you realize. And especially if you're ambitious, or if you're a perfectionist, or if you have any of those traits, you're often going to feel anxious about stuff because you've put a lot of pressure on yourself. Recognizing that, taking a step back, seeing what of the things that are making you feel so anxious and overwhelmed, what can you take off your plate, or what can you say no to? And I think having that awareness of your own personality, and then what coping mechanisms will work for you. It could be absolutely, like, it could be running 10 miles, like just getting outside, running 10 miles. It could be doing a really fun dance workout class. It could be just calling a friend. Like, it doesn't have to be one specific thing, but just ignoring it and not finding what works for you is going to make it even more doesn't solve the problem. You're not getting to the root cause and understanding how you can actually treat it.
Completely. And I think until you make the decision, which is often quite hard to make the change, because it's like anything, isn't it? Sitting in an uncomfortable position, like being overwhelmed, feeling that upset and stressed is horrible, but it's a guarantee. It's familiar. When you're in that headspace, you know it. Actually making the decision to do something hard and make a change and step outside your comfort zone, even though you might know that at the end of that sits more peace or happiness or less overwhelm, it can be quite hard to start because you almost have that guaranteed safety of overwhelm because it's familiar. But actually sitting down and saying to yourself, no, I'm going to do the hard thing because it's better for me in the long run, even though it's difficult, is so worth doing.
Yeah, it almost feels easier to stay in that state of stress because it just feels like a place that's comfortable and that you're used to.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what option is right for you to try and cope with it. And I do think as well, that's why after each period of overwhelm, or if you felt really overwhelmed recently, it's often easier to get some perspective on that and ask yourself why you're feeling overwhelmed after, like, if it's passed, if you've had a really stressful period, just sit down and kind of think, like, why were you overwhelmed? What warning signs can you look for next time? What can you change, or what can you make sure you have extra support with next time? It could be something in your relationship. Yeah. It could be something at work. But I think actually taking the time to really analyze that overwhelm and what you could do to reduce that pressure and reduce that anxiety in the future doesn't mean it's going to go away. But again, all comes back down to having that understanding of, like, what triggers you, what makes you feel anxious. And then you can put those plans in place and those coping mechanisms for future occasions.
Yeah, it's like, what lightens the load? What would make things that little bit easier? And often it's even just getting into the practice of saying, am I doing this because I want to? Am I doing it to please someone else? And that's quite difficult as well. I think if you're a chronic people pleaser, to have that moment of going, hold on, why am I doing this? Especially when you're overwhelmed and busy, because you're not as, you are resilient, but in a different way. You're not going to be as resilient to those little things that you've worked hard to overcome, like people pleasing, like going out of your way for other people and putting yourself last. It's much easier to fall back into those negative habits, but actually that's when it's the most important time to practice it and have that conversation with yourself. Like today, part of me is like, I should go into the office. But if I stop and I question myself, I'm like, who am I doing that for? Because it's too much on my plate. And it's quite uncomfortable and quite confronting to have that conversation with yourself. But I think it's a really important one to have. And the sooner you get into the habit of doing that, the easier it becomes to do it and protect yourself.
Yeah, I think it's, don't keep saying yes, don't add more to your plate until you've dealt with what's already there. If it's not something that's essential or 100% necessary, you're only going to be adding to the stress and all of the things that you're already trying to cope with. So if it is something that you can step back from, or say to colleagues or say to family, no, I can't be there for this, like absolutely next time or whatever, but right now it's not something that I can take on. Like we've spoken about the importance of learning to say no before, and I think that is a really important factor when you're trying to deal with overwhelm.
Definitely. We hope you guys have found this helpful. We know there's a hell of a lot going on right now, as there always is, but it feels like a lot of people are in the same boat right now, feeling quite overwhelmed. So if that's you, we hope this has been helpful. We're sending you a lot of love. We are now going off on our summer break, which sounds very glamorous, like we should be going to the south of France for a month on some grand vacation, whatever it's called.
Maybe we should.
Oh God, wouldn't that be amazing? We're not doing that, but we are taking a bit of a break because we've got to practice what we preach. Self-care is sometimes doing the things that don't come naturally to us, and taking a break is one of them. We will be back though in a few weeks' time. So make sure you hit subscribe so that you can see when we are back. And we would love to hear from you. What has been your favorite thing we've discussed, or what do you want to hear us discuss in the next, I was going to say series. There's just not a better word, but like we said, we don't really do series.
When we're back.
When we're back, tell us what you want us to discuss. If you have any books, TV shows, movies that you think we need to read/watch while we're on this break, please let us know. All the contact details are in the show notes. And we hope you have a brilliant summer.
Bye.
Bye.